This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 every Thursday night between 8 and 9. And tonight you have Rachel back in the studio. It's good to be back. And we've got Claudine and Mark. Hi, guys.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, and Happy New Year and all of that.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. So tonight we have some exciting things to talk about. We're doing a special little segment on Pride Shabbat. So if you have any questions for us, don't forget, send us an SMS on 0427-JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au, or if you've got the app and you're listening via the app, you can just press contact us and it'll do it all for you. So, of course, we're going to start with our holy day of the week, and we don't have our theme music, so here I am doing the theme, and I'm actually going to do the song. Are you ready for a miracle? Okay, that's all I've got of that song. So, surprise! Just when you think Christmas is over, we're bringing you this week's holy day, and it's Epiphany. So we've all heard of an epiphany, and according to our dear friend, the dictionary, Epiphany is first and foremost a Christian festival observed on January the 6th, commemorating the manifestation of Christ, blah, 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 and so on. It is also a sudden, intuitive perception of or insight into the reality or essential meaning of something, usually initiated by some simple, homely, or commonplace occurrence or experience. But we're on the Spirit Lounge, so we'll be focusing on meaning one, which is also known as the Feast of the Epiphany, and Dios de los Reyes, which is Three Kings Day. So this day, it commemorates the three wise men's visit to Jesus after his birth. And obviously, I mentioned it's on January the 6th, so that was yesterday. So believe it or not, Epiphany is actually the 12th day of Christmas. So this came as a surprise to me. I was almost certain that the 12 days were the 12 leading up to the day that Jesus
Guess
was born.
Guess who wasn't listening to our Christmas double feature?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you had an
excuse.
I
was in Bali and we were 3 hours behind and I was horrendously ill pretty much the whole time. So, no, I wasn't listening and I do apologise. I was not a faithful listener. Sorry. Obviously, with all the Christmas carols and Advent calendars always leading up until Christmas Day, I just presumed that they were the 12 days of Christmas. But it actually starts on Christmas Eve and goes until the 6th. So I have some fun facts about Epiphany. So the three wise men had names, which I was not aware of. I was always just told there was three wise men and they had gold, frankincense and myrrh. But their names are Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar.
Now, Caspar is actually comes from the Hebrew word for treasurer, which is gizbar.
There you go. So he's a treasurer.
He is a treasurer.
Yes.
He's also a king, perhaps.
Yes. And he had frankincense because he's right in the middle.
Yes.
You'd think maybe that the treasurer would have some gold.
Yes, you would. It's interesting. Gold came first or third?
Gold first.
First, which is interesting because Belzebub is black.
Yes.
And in Dutch history, people who were black were seen as bringing gold.
Oh, and he had myrrh.
And he had myrrh.
Fascinating. So the as you mentioned, the third wise man was black because the three wise men represented Europe, Arabia, and Africa. So there you go. Balthazar was African, Caspar was from Arabia, and Melchior was from Europe. So, fun facts there. And all the gold, frankincense, and myrrh represented things. So, the gold represented Jesus' royal standing. The frankincense is representing the divine birth. And the myrrh is Jesus' mortality, which is interesting. And I tried to work out why, and I'm not sure. As far as...
I think myrrh was used in funeral rituals.
Isn't myrrh fragrant?
Yeah.
So that would be literally to hide the smell.
Oh, okay.
That's
lovely.
More detail than we were asking for, but very well, well there you go.
It's like in old-fashioned times, and they used to hold bouquets at weddings because they stank. So,
exactly.
You know, they had myrrh at funerals because dead people smell. Anyway, back to topic. So in Mexico, Rosca de Reyes is made, and this is the king's bread. And in other countries, they also make the king's bread, and a statue of Jesus is hidden in it. And whoever gets the slice of bread with the little baby Jesus in it has to throw a party for another holiday that's celebrated in February. So I'm not sure if that's punishment or a gift to you, but you're in charge of throwing the next religious party.
Do you think that's where putting money in the Christmas pudding comes from?
Totally. I think that would make sense. We could look that up. And if you know that, please send us a message on 0427-JOY949 or an email on air@joy.org.au. If you know the reason why they put a penny in the Christmas pudding, let us know. Another thing that I thought possibly also comes from an old tradition around Epiphany is leaving out Santa cookies or reindeer carrots because children used to leave out hay for the Three Kings horses on the night of Epiphany. So do you think that's why we leave Santa cookies? I don't know, but I think it could work. Another fun fact, Orthodox churches are known for throwing a wooden cross into the water and making worshippers try to retrieve it, which becomes quite a competition for the congregation members.
And if you look in today's paper, you'll see that the Greek Orthodox Church did that in Melbourne, and you'll see who the winner was. I think his name was Nick.
Well done. That's very exciting. I thought that was hilarious. There were some great pictures accompanying that little fact online, and depending on which type of Orthodox Church, they throw it into different bodies of water. So if you're throwing it into a cold ocean in the middle of winter, that's fun. So for all you caroling fans, no fear, you may feel obliged to take down your Christmas trees at this time of year, but it is still common practice to sing traditional Christmas carols all the way through Epiphany, which doesn't end until the Sunday after January the 6th. So a carol on, Spirit Loungers.
And you're listening to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And tonight we're going to be talking with Rabbi Kim Ettlinger from Temple Beth Israel in Melbourne. Can you say hello, Kim?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, Kim. So we've got Kim on tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Pride Shabbat, and then we'll talk about some other things happening in the Jewish community that are interesting perhaps for our listeners out there tonight. So to start off with, Kim, can you tell us, what is Shabbat?
Shabbat is I guess it's the last day of the week, of the Jewish week, which for us as Jews, it begins at sundown on Friday night, goes through to sundown on Saturday night, and that begins the Jewish Sabbath. And that's essentially when, you know, we're supposed to rest. I'm laughing only because everybody defines rest a little bit differently.
I imagine rest is different for you, Kim.
Well, I tend to work on our rest day because I lead services in the synagogue, and that's more of a work day for me. I help facilitate other people's rest. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm sure it's very restful leading 200 Jews in a service.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
Community equals rest, Mark. You know that.
Exactly. So, Kim...
No, it's wonderful.
It is. And so what makes Pride Shabbat different to a normal Shabbat?
Well, I think what's for us Pride Shabbat is really an opportunity to honor the Jewish GLBTI community here in Melbourne. And that's a regular Shabbat service in many ways, with a regular prayer. What we're going to do this year, as we've been doing every year since 2013, we're going to honor members of the GLBTI community. And that's something we take to heart. Very special, and we think it's necessary and worthwhile. This year we're going to do something a little bit differently. We're going to have different readings throughout the service as well, and we're going to hear a sermon. I don't exactly know what's going to be said, but from Margot Fink.
So Margot Fink is the Pride Shabbat ambassador. So do you know much about Margot's background? Why has she become an ambassador this year?
Basically because we asked her for two reasons. Because she's state finalist Young Australian of the Year. So we asked her if she would be willing to be the 2016 Pride Shabbat ambassador. And because her family are a long-time Temple Beth Israel members. And so it just works beautifully. And we're very proud of her for many reasons.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And so she'll be delivering the sermon or the drash if you're Jewish.
Yeah. You don't have to be Jewish to deliver the sermon or the drash. We've had many people who are not Jewish be involved in the service and deliver words of wisdom from our pulpit. We've invited her. And we thought it was appropriate. Usually in previous years, other than myself or Rabbi Lazaro, my colleague who delivered the sermon. But this year we thought it would be beautiful to hear from Margaret.
Oh, that sounds lovely. And is everyone welcome at Pride Shabbat?
Absolutely. Anybody is definitely welcome. One of the things I do have to share with you, Mark, I think you may be aware of it, is that we do have security at all of our services, and the service will be no different. So I just want people to be aware that there is security at all of our services, Friday night, Saturday, and Pride Shabbat will be no different.
Yes, it's one of the unfortunate realities of the Jewish community is that we do have security at our services, but people are, as Kim said, are very welcome to come along. And
absolutely.
And all you do is you just walk past the security guard and say hello, and they'll
finish. You just say hello, and you know the security guards, they're in plain clothes, generally speaking. And they may stop you and ask you some questions. They may ask you the contents of your bag. And we just hope that people will be understanding and realize that this is for everybody's safety and security and not that you're concerned about it. They tend to get more concerned if people get defensive and usually people get defensive about it and set up it. They can sometimes get a little bit more difficult. But if you just say, yeah, sure, no worries, feel free to ask any questions, then it's usually
Hi, Kim.
Giving away secrets.
No, that's all right. I'm Rachel. I don't know if I introduced myself earlier to you, but I was just wondering, as someone who hasn't come from a Jewish background, what could I expect at a Pride Shabbat service?
Well, let's take it from the beginning. So when you walk in, we will have greeters who will welcome you. They will hand you a prayer book. Unfortunately, they're quite heavy. And the prayer book will open from right to left as opposed to a regular English book, left to right, because Hebrew is read from right to left. The book is actually read in three ways because we've got the Hebrew text and then it's in transliteration. So you can actually read the Hebrew with English characters.
Oh, yeah.
In transliteration. So it's pretty much it's accessible to everybody. The service will be done with some English, some Hebrew, and there will be all the Sabbath prayers. There'll be a lot of singing throughout the service and some English readings. At the beginning of the service, we will light the Sabbath candles, and that'll be an honour given to a family. And as I had mentioned to Mark earlier, what's special about this service is that we'll invite some members who have been very supportive, not necessarily members of our synagogue, but just members in general who have been very supportive of the LGBTQI community, and we would like to honour them, so we will invite them to do a special reading throughout the service.
Nice.
And this is a sermon that will be given by Margot during the evening. And that's essentially what to expect. And the service will probably go for about 50 minutes to an hour. After the service, then we will do what we call Kiddush and Motzi, but we bless the wine and grape juice and the bread. And that's what you will find in the service. Lots of singing. We hope that people feel that it's a very warm and welcoming evening.
Awesome.
People usually tell us it is, not just for the creature, but in general.
That's good to know.
Well, we're going to...
And of course, men and women can sit together in our synagogues, and some synagogues are more orthodox. Men and women are segregated. We do ask that men do cover their heads. Mm-hmm. That is our custom. And women are welcome to do that, to cover their heads as well. I certainly wear a kippah, a skull cap, or yarmulke. I do that as well. And some women do too. You know, we're fully egalitarian.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a great service. And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And tonight we're talking with Rabbi Kim Ettlinger from Temple Beth Israel in St Kilda. And we're talking about Pride Shabbat. That's what we've been talking with Kim about in the last little segment. So so when is Pride Shabbat coming up, Kim?
Pride Shabbat is on the 15th of January. So it's Friday a week. I've got the date right. It's 6:15 in the evening.
Yeah, I've got the date right. So it's next Friday night at 6:15 in the evening. And whereabouts is Temple Beth Israel, Kim?
It's 76 Alma Road in St Kilda.
Yep. So for those who are getting there, probably the nearest train station is Windsor and you walk down Chapel Street. Or you can catch the tram along St Kilda Road or the Chapel Street tram too.
And is there a website where we could find more information or confirm these times if we do forget later in the week?
Absolutely. Go to tbi.org.au and you'll find links for Pride Shabbat that should pop up. And if for whatever reason and somebody's not able to join us for Pride Shabbat, the commute is not possible or anything like that, feel free to log on to our website. We will be webcasting. We webcast all of our services, but feel free to webcast in to log on. It's done to TBI. Go to the same website, tbi.org.au. Click on TBI TV and you'll be able to stream services and to join in with us.
Awesome.
As well. And that's it's a wonderful way to be part of the community if you're not able to actually join us in person. Yeah, maybe you can hang out with some friends and log in.
So that'd be really good for our international listeners can watch Pride Shabbat from all over the world via the streaming on tbi.org.au. And also for our faithful listeners, we have put up the information about Pride Shabbat on our Facebook page. So don't forget to like us on Facebook. Now, Kim, we've been talking about Pride Shabbat. Can you just tell us, like, Temple Beth Israel, how would you describe that from a Jewish perspective? Like, what sort of synagogue is it?
We fall under what is called the progressive umbrella of Judaism, progressive Judaism. In America, it's known as Reform Judaism, and that's on the more liberal arm or the liberal spectrum. If you look at a spectrum, you've got liberal Judaism, conservative or progressive Judaism, conservative Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, if you're looking at a spectrum, and we're on the more, you know, left of center, if you will, and when it comes to, you know, how we align ourselves. So for we believe in egalitarianism, we believe in, you know, for women to have rights, we believe in the rights of the LGBTQI community. We tend to be very strong on social justice issues. And, you know, you're talking to a woman rabbi, Mark.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So, and not the first woman rabbi either.
definitely not the first woman rabbi, was Sally Priestand, and she was ordained in 1973.
Wow.
Which was fantastic. So really ahead of a lot of other religious organizations. And, you know, Reform Judaism especially, or Progressive Judaism especially, has been at the forefront of many social justice issues around the world, of the women's suffrage movement, of black rights, and certainly of gay rights around the world. Hasn't really been felt so strongly here in Australia, but certainly in the United States, it's very, very strong, and still is, because our roots are... A foundation of principles, if you will, are found within the prophets Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, because they were very, very strong on the principles of feeding the poor, clothing the hungry, not putting a stumbling block in front of the blind, making sure that, you know, righting the wrongs of society. And that's the foundation, in a sense, of the social justice aspect of our movement.
So it's a great long history that Reform Judaism, and which is Progressive Judaism in Australia, has in this area. And like I'm aware that in 1977 there was a resolution by Reform Judaism affirming the rights of homosexuals, it was called back then.
Yeah.
And
not just the Union for Reform Judaism. So it wasn't just the lay body, but it was also the Central Conference of American Rabbis. So it was also the cleric body, the clergy as well. And, you know, I'm still, while I'm here in Australia, I'm still a member of the Central Conference of American Rabbis in America, because it's the largest body. It's also an ethical group as well. You know, myself and here, actually all of my Australian colleagues are a member of that body as well, because we believe that, you know, because there's also a strong ethical commitment to the work that we do, and to some degree governs the work that we do. We do here in Australia, on a global scale, not on a micro scale.
Oh, that's excellent. And you went over to the conference last year in America?
Yeah, last November I went to the Union for Reform Judaism Biennial, so it's every other year. I've been to a few of them, and they vote in different resolutions. And, of course, the most exciting resolution that we've done in a while, was the resolution on the rights of transgender and gender non-conforming people. And if you can imagine it, the excitement, you know, it must have been 5,000-6,000 people, closer to 6,000 people in a room that was unanimous on this resolution of rights.
Wow.
It was fantastic, Mark. It was absolutely fantastic. And Rachel, it was fantastic. Like, the energy in the room when the resolution was put forward, and, you know, when they asked for the ayes, and it wasn't just, you know, they asked for yeas and nays, and they started with the yeas, and it was unanimous, and just the applause and the excitement that just erupted was just amazing. It was phenomenal.
Awesome.
Because it's a human right. We're talking about human rights.
Yeah.
Basic human rights.
I just imagined that and got goosebumps.
I've seen the footage online is quite amazing of that moment when they call for the yays.
Yeah. And I'm talking, you know, this is a religious organization voting on something that is so fundamental for its entire movement. You know, I remember I was in rabbinic school. Now, I became a rabbi, I was ordained in 2005, and I remember when the first transgender rabbinic student was accepted into the college in 2003. Yeah, so in the early 2000s, we were saying then that you could become a rabbi if you were transgender.
Yeah, that's definitely progressive.
Because it's a human right.
Yeah.
And now we were saying, okay, you could become a rabbi. And now we're saying to our members, to our organizations, Everybody deserves to be treated respectfully and as they wish to be called and named and included across the board, across every Jewish, every progressive Jewish institution. And that was affirmed in the actual resolution. And that's what's so phenomenal about that. Now, it's a commitment, as I'm reading it right now, it's a commitment to the full equality, inclusion, acceptance of people of all gender identities and gender expressions. And the second part of that affirms the rights of transgender and gender non-conforming individuals to be referred to by their name, gender, and pronoun of preference in our congregations, camps, schools, and other reform affiliated organizations. And then, of course, it goes on, because I'm not going to read it all because it's just way too long. This goes on, and it demands of us to be advocates. It demands of us to go to our government and to say, you know, we need to fight for rights.
Wow.
That we shouldn't be bystanders. And that's what's so amazing about this. It demands of us that in our organizations and institutions that we should have, you know, get into the minutiae. We need to, I don't mean minutiae as in unimportant, but minutiae as in giving us examples of what we need to do, that we need to have gender-neutral restrooms and physical site needs, to ensure dignity and safety for transgender and gender non-conforming individuals. It demands of us to make sure that our the use of language in prayer is inclusive. And it's just really, really wonderful. And that when we create new prayers and new rituals, that it's inclusive and embracing and welcoming. Well, this is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm getting excited all over again as if I was in that room.
We're feeling the excitement here, Kim, that it's such an incredible thing to hear about, and that a religious organization has gone to that extent as well, just blows my mind and makes me really proud to know that there's amazing religious organizations out there that are supporting LGBTIQ rights.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And tonight we've been talking with Rabbi Kim Ettlinger from Temple Beth Israel in Melbourne, which is the synagogue that's hosting Pride Shabbat on Friday the 15th of January at 6:15 p.m. And just before the break, we were talking to Kim about the resolution of the Union for Reform Judaism on transgender and gender non-conforming persons. And Kim was mentioning a few points, and I thought I just might read out the couple of the first. There's 9 points to this resolution, which you can find online if you just Google URJ transgender. But I just thought I'd just read out the first two that Kim mentioned. The first one is... the Union or for Reform Judaism affirms its commitment to the full equality, inclusion, and acceptance of all people of all gender identities and gender expressions. The second point is, the Union affirms the right of transgender and gender non-conforming individuals to be referred to by their name, gender, and pronoun of preference in our congregations, camps, schools, and other reform-affiliated organisations. So it's a massive change. It's not a change so much, but it's a massive statement by a religious organisation and a very large religious organisation about transgender people. And Kim, you were there during the resolution. You talk about how exciting it was to be in that room. It had a really great...
Absolutely.
A really great atmosphere. In terms of locally, what's the impact on the local Jewish community likely to be?
You know, I think in many congregations the acceptance was already there. And I think that, you know, sometimes this is just putting in writing what's already being done. Certainly with number one and number two. I think certainly on the coastal part of the United States, I think this was already happening and it was just making it more official. And so I think certainly more, you know, when you start heading into the more rural country parts of the United States, I think they would be, you know, the more what you would call the conservative belt of the United States. I think they probably still, even within a religious organization, I think they're probably still struggling. And I think that Melbourne is a microcosm of this. I think we've got, certainly within Temple Beth Israel, you know, we're the leadership. Yeah, we are on board with the resolution. We're on board with what this is. But I certainly know that not every member of our congregation and our community would agree. We understand that not everybody is taking this journey with us. And we have to try to balance and weigh, you know, and try to understand that. You know, we are a compassionate, caring congregation as well. I mean, you may have a family, you know, with cousins and relatives and all of that who, you know, somebody who's transgender within that family. Not everybody understands and is part of that journey. But you try to help them along, to even bring them along to full understanding. It's not always easy. Yeah. And I think that's what we're going to try to do.
So, Kim, is one of
you know,
the...
We're very proud of what we're doing. We are excited to have Margot speak from our pulpit. Yeah. This is... You know, we're loud and we're proud.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we're putting our money where our mouth is. And not that there's money in this, but we're putting our money in it where our mouth is.
So, Kim, I just wanted to know, does this mean that transgender or gender non-conforming people are able to be in positions of leadership within the community now as well?
Absolutely. I don't think... I would have assumed that this... certainly for the last few years, and I think this would have precluded anybody from a leadership position.
Awesome.
I think this is, in many ways, for somebody like myself, it's rather stamping what we've already been doing. I think for some other members of the congregation, it's probably going to be quite shocking.
Yeah.
But I think for many, many people, it's and people like myself, I think it's rather stamping, what's already been going on. But first of all, I think that in many situations, it's about letting people know we are welcoming, we are open, when so many people have felt excluded.
Yeah.
And then once people know that we're open and welcoming, letting them know that this truly is a place of safety and it's home, and how can they find a place here? Helping, and then this is everybody. This is not just about the LGBTQI community. This is everybody who wants to find a home in Judaism. And then it takes time to find a place within leadership position. This is anybody who walks into community.
So it's helping people Jewish people who might identify as gender non-conforming or transgender, it gives them an opportunity to have a place where they can be a Jew and explore that side of their selves. And I suppose it also gives their families a place to understand what's happening for their family members within that Jewish context for people who are Jewish.
Yeah.
And certainly,
absolutely. I think that the most heartbreaking stories that we hear are of people when they walk into our shul. And sometimes it's somebody who's a member of the LGBTQ community, and sometimes it's a relative, a parent often, who says, I haven't felt comfortable walking into a synagogue before because I or my family member has been ostracized because of being part of the LGBTQ community.
And
so for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, we've never stepped foot into a synagogue, and this is the first time we've felt comfortable because of what TBI is doing. Because, by hosting Pride Shabbat, we feel we can now walk into a synagogue. And that to me is just, that to me is just heartbreaking. I feel fantastic that somebody can now walk into a synagogue, but why haven't we had our doors open sooner? I mean, our doors have been open sooner, but, it's sad that Pride Shabbat has the impetus. But on the other hand, I'm glad Pride Shabbat is the impetus that people know, yes, you can come, you can step into our building, you can feel at home, you can feel there's a place for you.
Yeah, it's definitely a great way to reach out to the rest of the community, regardless of whether they have been have had a Jewish experience before, like experience with Judaism or not, because they might just be part of the LGBTI community and be looking for something, and to go, hey, that here's a place that accepts me. I'm going to go check it out. And it's awesome to know that there's somewhere that they can be comfortable and welcome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a time when we don't have to have resolutions like this, where it's just accepted that people are equal, that, you know, that we don't have to have resolutions that need to state full equality, inclusion, acceptance, where it's just the norm.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just normal. It really is, you know, that the next generation grows up with a sense that everybody's equal.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And tonight we've had the pleasure of talking about Pride Shabbat with Rabbi Kim Ettlinger. And remember, if you want to head to that, go to tbi.org.au, or it's on next Friday at 6:15 p.m. So Friday the 15th at 6:15 p.m. So thank you, Kim, for being here tonight.
You are so welcome. It's been wonderful.
No worries. And it's a big goodbye from Rachel.
And from Mark.
And from Claudine behind the desk. And we have the woods coming up. And the song that we're going to end on
is Shalom Alechem by Yossi Azay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.